Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, Purpose, Leadership. My guest today is the wonderful June Whiteman. June is a fellow South African, but now lives on the Isle of Man. She's an executive assistant to many, and to some well-known people too. But more than that, June is one of those beautifully generous and loving people who has mastered the art of how to support and nurture family and business, and create a loving environment where people really listen. In this episode, June Whitman and I talk openly about our trials and tribulations with forming an identity, and why we don't live the life we want. Well, good day, June Whiteman. How the hell are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very excited to actually be talking to you on my show.
We're not live, are we?
No. Don't do anything live, darling, no. I am camping it up something chronic. I don't know why.
Am I making you nervous?
It's you, June, you're bringing it out of me. No, I'm not nervous at all. I'm excited. That's why I'm over the top with it. I've just been watching an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race on the BBC.
No wonder you're camping it up. I must tell you, I've come to that very late in the day. What's behind it all?
RuPaul is huge in America.
Ah.
And he has been, or she has been, I think for decades, in fact, I'd go so far.
I'll just go back and creep back under my rock then.
No, but I'm a gay man, and I didn't even know about RuPaul's Drag Race until we had a RuPaul's Drag Race here in the UK.
Yeah.
And I actually am a gay man who wished he had done drag way back when.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said to me, oh, you should do it now. I said, have you seen these queens on television, how fabulous they are? And me coming, I would look like some old pavement special. They're like pedigrees, these lot.
I'm sure you wouldn't, but anyway.
I look like I've been dragged up a bus. It's been going, yeah, he's been on for like decades in America. And then only 3 years ago, it came to the UK. Honestly, June, what I watch is young people, young men, living their own identity, being their real self, whatever version of that is. And I so, so admire them. I so am inspired by some of them are 19. And it's so beautiful that you have such confidence.
Yeah.
And you can dress up however you want, or you could not dress up and you feel great about
who you are. Doing.
Yeah. Mm.
It's true that, yes, because it's something that is so foreign in many ways, but I understand what you say. You know, for anybody to live their truth, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Isn't it? And I get cold shivers when I think about it. Just today, actually, an ex-client of mine who's become a really dear friend sent me a WhatsApp message. It's a video of his son. I've met his son. His son's very quiet, very unassuming. And the video was him, the son, DJing at this huge club in Ibiza. Young 19, 21-year-old, I think, is leading these revelers, these partygoers, must be some huge club, but they're all just having a brilliant time. You must have such strength of resolve, such clarity of who you are and your own identity and your own place in this world that you feel confident enough to do that.
And very comfortable to retreat back to his quiet self.
Yeah. Mm. I love it. My word. So what the hell are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. I was worried about leadership because I don't know too much about it.
Me neither. I've been working, I've been working with so many leaders over the years. I wonder whether or not I know anything about it. I mean, you've worked with some people in your life,
yes,
haven't you?
Yeah.
I guess the good starting point is, who's June Whiteman? Given that we've been talking about identity.
Gosh, Dion, I instantly go back to arriving on the Isle of Man. We've been here 20 years now. I think because I was popular back in South Africa, had a good circle of friends, we had a successful business, and suddenly that identity was taken away and I had to start again. And I almost felt like a refugee in a foreign land. I've carried that baggage with me for a very long time. It's something that I'm finding it quite difficult to shed, which is so unusual because I think I come across as being quite confident, but I definitely do feel questioned. And people don't. They don't question me, but that's how I feel. I feel like I've got to almost justify why we're here, or in the early days, why we're here. Not so much now. That doesn't happen so much now, but I still feel that I haven't regained my status, if that's the right word, from 20 years ago. I enjoy working with I'm going to call them powerful people. So many doors have been opened as a result of that, but I find myself almost hiding behind them so that it's them that are in the limelight, whereas I'm not. And I even did that with my husband, with his business, when he started a business here. It was very much his. And I was the support artist, the understudy.
You're telling me that you're shunning the limelight from you?
Yes, very much so. Mm. I feel very uncomfortable when the spotlight is on me. Seemingly, I have this little Marianne Williamson saying next to me that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. And I think that possibly I need to embrace that. Stuck up on my wall, you'd think that I would have embraced it by now. So that's a little bit about me.
That quote is incredible. I love it. I think it's beautiful. I'm taken by what you've said in a number of ways. The first phrase was that you had it taken away from you.
Yes.
How?
Well, that was South Africa back in the early 2000s. Well, in fact, it happened in 97. We had a very successful shoe factory. The bank foreclosed on us. In fact, it foreclosed on a number of shoe companies. That was the beginning of buyers taking their buy to the east and getting designs knocked off and brought in cheaply. We were a casualty as a consequence of that. We, along with the 200 employees, were left high and dry. And I still wonder to this day if bank managers actually look a little bit beyond the figures to see what's behind these businesses that they perceive to be in a spot of bother. I don't know, but it really was a shocking thing because it was totally unexpected. We were actually on a ski holiday, and we got back to find that everything that the world as we knew it had tilted on its axis. It knocks you, and it knocked my husband really badly. But hey, you know, you drag yourself up, you find an alternative, and you move on. And in our instance, shortly after that, we had a security breach at home. We had somebody in our house who shouldn't have been in there, and he confronted our daughter, who was absolutely terrorized. And it just was that tipping point of, okay, maybe this is a sign.
You had to tell 200 people, sorry, you've got no job.
Exactly. And I think that's why it affected Martin so much, because you're responsible. You know, you employ those people, you're responsible for them, and there's absolutely nothing you can do because you can't afford to pay them.
I think when we're faced with a brick wall, we sometimes can chip away at the plaster and maybe remove a brick and see through to the other side. There was something else that got me with your original story. I've got a question mark here where I've written it down, but I actually can't read the word. I think I tried to write baggage.
Baggage. Baggage.
Baggage. Maybe yeah. It was baggage.
Baggage. Yeah, I've carried that baggage with me, that feeling of being an alien in a foreign land. Yeah, I have carried that with me.
You know, I so identify with that, June. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I turned 50 this year. I also felt that to an extent in South Africa.
Oh, okay.
That changed for me in 2018. My father died in 2017. My brother and I went out for his funeral. But after his death, I went back in 2018 for a holiday with my son and my partner at the time. I got off the plane and I felt for the very first time that I belonged somewhere.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. And I think a lot of that, mm-hmm. now when I look back at it, comes back to this point that I was saying in the beginning about RuPaul's Drag Race and identity and all of that stuff. I think I felt okay with who I was at that point.
Yes.
And I think that has a great, I know we know that has a huge influence on things like confidence and how we conduct ourselves, etc. We know that. We know that intellectually. We can appreciate that it does. But actually, it was a quite a visceral moment for me. I felt like I belonged somewhere.
You didn't have to justify yourself to anybody.
No.
That's a very comfortable place to be.
Isn't it? And I'm not suggesting that that then becomes how you are all the time, because I think things change, circumstances change, life changes, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I think we spend a lot of our time, a lot of our lives being someone that we think they want us to be.
Yes, how very true that is. Yeah.
Mm.
It becomes a habit.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. Yes.
That's just the way you live your life, ultimately.
Mm.
I was on a business call, a mentoring call. My coach just suddenly sparked a memory of a character that I think I wanted to be, or possibly I identified with at the age of 17. I was reading my final matric oral piece. Okay. And I'd chosen a piece out of the Fair Lady magazine. You remember the Fair Lady magazine?
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the back page, and it was written by Blossom Broadbeam. Now, Blossom Broadbeam just wrote the most hilarious articles. And for whatever reason, I chose to read this one for my final matric exam. And it was when I was talking to Janine, my mentor, that suddenly Blossom just popped into my head. Because a couple of years ago, I thought, as a retirement project, I want to grow cut flowers and be a cut flower farmer, in a small cut flower farmer, or a cut flower farmer on a small scale. And Blossom just gave me that feeling of identity. This is the character who is just effusive and generous and funny and doesn't care about anybody, because all she cares about is growing her flowers. And I have now really taken on her mantle, and I feel very comfortable when I'm talking about Blossom, and we're on this journey together now, Blossom and I. We've reconnected, and she is going to be the June of the future.
When you're telling me that story,
yeah,
just before you said the line, taken on her mantle,
mm-hmm.
I can see it in you that you have this positivity, this energy, this enthusiasm for.
And it's been missing for so long, Dion, for whatever reason. And I don't understand it myself, but I just feel that this is the opportunity now. You know, there are more years behind than there are in front now. So I've got to make the most of these. I feel very comfortable possibly hiding behind Blossom. But she has a lot of good things to do and a lot of good things to say. And yeah, I'm just going to follow her lead.
I think it comes back to this thing that I was saying to you about that 2018 trip to South Africa. I think the sense of belonging that I had been searching for,
yes,
and I think the sense of belonging that we search for is external, and it isn't. It's internal. I genuinely felt it that day when we landed at the airport. And I think that's what you're talking about, isn't it? It's an internal
recognition,
appreciation for acceptance. It's not even a cerebral appreciation. It's a very much a almost physical, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's very much you can't think this through.
No.
It has, It has to come from the heart, and the head has got nothing to do with it. And I think that was that lovely moment of, I'm not planning this. It was just complete spontaneous recognition of this identity that has been covered up for so long. And it was almost like she came bouncing out like a jack in a box saying, I'm here. Embrace me. I'm here. Finally.
And I can see it in you. I so totally can. It's the very thing that I was talking about in terms of those young people on RuPaul's Drag Race. They have that in them. And it's funny how we can spend like so much of our lives trying to be, and I use this line often. I it was in my book, trying to be everything to everybody and nothing to myself.
Oh, it's so depleting. It's so depleting when you, at the end of the day, you just feel drained of everything that you've given it all away and there's nothing coming back. I think that's why I find the garden such a place of, it replenishes me and it just gives back so much.
A friend of mine I spoke to for the first time, God, I feel really embarrassed actually saying this, in almost a decade, and I spoke to her for the first time yesterday. She has taken an initiative for herself to start slowing down and doing things differently, in the sense that she's just not going to be part of that environment that's about more and more and more. Eventually moved to Spain, thought she was slowing down, but bought herself a lovely big house, and then was still doing her business online. And she found herself spending her life trying to achieve more so that she could pay the mortgage on this huge property that she had bought for herself.
Yes.
So part of her slowing down was, I'm selling the property. So she sold the property and she moved into a two-bedroom.
Right.
And she's in a two-bedroom apartment overlooking the beach and the sea, spends her life, this I can't do because I need to earn some money, but she spends her life walking on the beach and swimming in the sea. And
doesn't it just sound heavenly?
It's beautiful. And of course, she's had a resource that she could use to put into something else that's now working for her.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't have that opportunity. Yeah, it was just interesting from that slowing down perspective, because I want to do similar, in as much as I'm literally selling up everything. I bought this van that this company is doing up and is going to make it into basically a camper van, and it's really high end, but it's a big investment, and I'm going to live in it and travel.
Good. And are you going to share your story as you travel?
I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work from it, do the online leadership stuff that I do with people, but I want to share the journey with people. Yeah.
You know, funny enough, I've just revitalized an old computer that I haven't had the courage to open for years because I didn't think I'd be able to get in, and have found a whole Pandora's box of photographs that we took from our first sailing holiday back in 2005. I could never remember which was our first one. Now, I'm not a sailor, so I went with, using a South African expression, very long teeth. Didn't want to go. My face slowly changed through the week of that first sailing holiday, from being fairly grumpy to being absolutely loving every moment of it. And I'm so sorry now that I didn't write a journal every day of all those beautiful places that we went to. And then I thought, well, actually, I've got these photographs now. I could probably remember a lot of what I felt, and a lot of the name places will probably be on the photograph. I'm pretty sure I can identify most of them. I think that would be quite a nice project to do.
But those photographs are a brilliant visual representation of your journey, aren't they?
They are, totally. Never forget, sitting in a little taverna in a place called Frikis in Greece, we had a little netbook computer linked up to the internet so I could send email messages and get them to make sure that everything was still okay at home and the studio was still up and running. Martin said to me, this is your new office. And it stuck with me all those years that was the beginning of being a digital nomad, that as long as you had the internet, you could work anywhere.
I'm quite intrigued by your comment earlier in particular, the comment about making other people shine, the people that you work for. And here we are with June on a podcast, and it's all about June. I wonder how you feel about the fact that this is all about you right now.
I'm relaxing into it. I wasn't very sure at the beginning, but I'm enjoying reconnecting with the real me. Mm. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. If Martin had to tell people what was important to June, what would he say?
Her family, her garden, and him.
How long have you been married?
Nearly 40 years.
Oh, my Lord, that's incredible.
Our family it means so much to us, Dion.
I'm totally gobsmacked with nearly 40 years. I wonder what it takes to make that.
Putting other people in front of yourself or ahead of yourself and nurturing other people, their needs, their wants, their desires, being the sounding board, trying not to react too emotionally at any given moment. Not my strong point, not with my family anyway. And being consistently loving and supportive.
Nurturing them.
You know, one of the things that I was so conscious of when we first got married was Martin had a very stressful job. It was pressure. Production is a very pressurized thing when you've got thousands of pairs of shoes coming out of a shoe factory. So when he'd come home in the evening, I would never talk about my day. So set him down, just, you know, because you don't want to talk necessarily when you get home. You just want that space of being. Mm. And that's what I gave him every night, was just that opportunity to just be. And I think that went a long way to establishing, I understand how he felt. I cared about the way he felt. It was not about me. And then everything else would come out over the course of the evening whilst he had supper and so on. So we got there in the end. But it was vitally important that he just had the space. And I think if more marriages just gave each other space and just listen more. Don't be so keen to talk all the time.
Hmm. I think that's a huge metaphor for every relationship and business. Think about it from a business perspective. You say, oh, I don't know much about leadership. I think that is a prime example of a leadership quality that if implemented in a lot of organizations, in other words, giving people some time and space, time to think, it would have a profound effect on how I felt about myself in that organization, how I felt about myself in relation to the rest of the people. And I guess that's exactly how for you and Martin is that he was able to then discern how he felt about his experiences and share that if necessary with you. It's so simple, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's just being considerate and loving, you know.
Mm.
It's not difficult when you care about somebody. You just want to put them in keep them in a safe space and know that they, let them know that they are loved and loved.
I wonder how you reconcile that with your own space or your own nurturing?
I think a lot of the time I'm concerned that people look at me and think, well, what is she on about now? What is she going to do now? I'm writing a book on how to be a brilliant PA, and it's in the guise of Bloss, in that generous, open, loving, giving personality. Because when I started as a PA, I was going back into the work. I had been a secretary in a previous life, never been a PA. And it was quite a steep learning curve. And I just want to put a few stepping stones and a few markers in place for people who find themselves in the situation that I was in, because it will just make that journey so much easier. As a result, create a lifestyle for themselves that will be joyful and hold all sorts of possibilities rather than just being a PA or just being it just being a job, because who wants just a job? Rather, let's make it something worthwhile and fulfilling for ourselves.
Mm, something meaningful, absolutely. You provide wonderful, continuous, and delicious support to people. I wonder if your voice is heard in that.
I think it is. And clients are very discerning and they do listen. And I do find that so valuable. Just feel that you're at peace with yourself and that you can comfortably share thoughts and ideas with the person that you're supporting, and that they will be received in the right way, because my intention is absolutely 100% to support them in their mission. So the fact that they do listen to me in return, it's very reinforcing, and I value that enormously.
But you've been able to separate out who you are and your identity from them?
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah. Mm. I think the only common denominator there is that I am aligned with their success. So whatever I do is to ensure that they are in the best possible position they need to be in order to achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve. I've often felt it would be so nice, you know, when you're really busy and you just think, oh, if only I had another one of me, just to go and do all of those things that I haven't got time to do right now. And that's essentially the type of support that I'm trying to supply and be to these people, is just knowing that, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter how menial it is, just sort it out, we'll find a solution and we'll get there. You know, when you're busy and you're working at a really high level, all the other things are just noise that are irritating, and you want to get those out of the way so that you can just focus on what's important. And that's what I'm trying to provide.
So if you had a crystal ball and you could look into your crystal ball and you could see the future, what's the future for June?
Ah, the future for me. Very much my flower garden, supplying vast bunches of flowers or jam jars of flowers to whoever would like them. But I also have another vision, and for whatever reason, it's Mallorca. I've been to Mallorca once, but there's a little house on a hillside overlooking the sea with a lovely wide veranda, and I can see myself sitting there writing. That's the vision that I return to on a very regular basis. That's what I'd love to do. Don't know what I'm going to write about, but I guess that'll come.
I would love to come and visit you on your veranda and just sit there and watch the world go by while you write. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, lovely. Well, I look forward to welcoming you.
June, I've thoroughly enjoyed having this conversation with you.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what to expect, and I must confess I was a little nervous, but it's been really nice getting to know you too. So thank you for the opportunity.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner. Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.